Hi everyone. In my last episode, I spoke about positive emotions like awe, serenity, joy, love, and how important it is to start experiencing life in the backdrop of these emotions. To inculcate a positive mindset is similar to moving a river, if not a mountain, and how one has to constantly make efforts to nurture positivity to reap its benefits. I also spoke about several ways to develop positivity, like writing a gratitude journal, random acts of kindness, savoring, and mindfulness. Among all these tools, mindfulness has emerged as the most powerful tool to nurture positive emotions. In the words of Jon Kabat-Zinn, the person responsible for demystifying the concept and making it widely available to the public, mindfulness is paying attention in a particular way, on purpose, in the present moment, and non-judgmentally. These words by Jon Kabat-Zinn resonate with the age-old concept of Buddhist philosophy of living in the moment. Let me give you an example. To experience joy wholeheartedly, you need to be completely in that moment. To experience calm and serenity, you need to be completely immersed in the tranquility of the environment that surrounds you. So many of us, I'm sure, have experienced this. Just when it is about time to step out of the house for that important meeting, we can't find the car keys. And if you're a homemaker, you're often hunting for the keys of your wardrobe. It was a perpetual story in my growing up years. The whole house looking for my mom's keys. And for several years, my children hunted for my car keys. Such issues are often blamed on memory. But let me tell you, my mother had a reasonably good memory, and so do I. Research shows that much of these occurrences are because of the attention deficit. In other words, we are often not mindful about how we are going about our daily lives. Most of the times, we are simultaneously engaged in more than one task at the same time, like eating meals at the same time watching Netflix, or clearing our mails while talking over the phone. In my sessions with students, I make it a point to keep aside a few minutes to make them aware about mindfulness and its benefits. And I begin by asking them this question: how often, while sitting in the class, your mind is outside, in the college canteen, on the next assignment, or on the conversation you had with your friend in the morning? And I'm met with a sudden burst of laughter, an excited chatter, with several heads nodding in agreement. It's that moment where everybody realizes that yes, it happens to me. The realization is invariably followed by, "But ma'am, we don't know how to control it." Our mind is just like a monkey, jumping from one thought to another. If you ask it to concentrate on a task, it is likely to push you towards thinking about the outcome of that task, or will quickly take you towards your past, maybe remind you about your failure while attempting a similar job. Both going back to your past or visualizing your future are in some way keeping you away from experiencing your present, and as a result, often impacting the outcome of the moment that is to follow. Something very natural to happen, because our brain is wired to behave that way. The trick is to train your mind to stay in the present. A volume of research has shown that mindfulness not only helps us deal with anxiety and pain, it also helps us cope with stress. In fact, launched in 1989, the Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction Program, MBSR, by Jon Kabat-Zinn, is being widely used across the world, especially in the hospitals of the UK and the USA. Besides this, mindfulness brings greater work-life balance, improves concentration, improves the working memory, increases feelings of well-being, and helps to gain more focus and clarity in these challenging times. The list is endless, and I can go on and on and on. Mindfulness in recent years has become a movement and comes across as an inundating process difficult to master. Contrary to popular belief, if you bring small changes in your daily life, you can easily master the art of mindfulness. Let me take you through a couple of these easy exercises. I will begin with a practice called the Mindful Minute. It may come handy to all those who are busy and don't find much time for themselves. If you're doing it for the first time, you will need something to time yourself with, or ask someone else to time you. Sit comfortably in a relaxed, upright position, feet flat on the floor, hands in your lap. Relax your shoulders and jaw. Start your timer. Close your eyes and bring your attention to your breath. Allow yourself to breathe normally. The idea here is not to do anything other than count how many breaths you take in a minute. Don't force the breath. Just breathe the way you normally breathe. By the end of the minute, you will become aware of how many breaths you take in 1 minute. The number may vary significantly according to the person. It does not matter. Now that you have the count, whenever you have a minute to spare, just close your eyes and breathe the number of breaths you take in a minute. If you already know how many breaths you tend to take in a minute, you need not time yourself. You may simply count the breaths to time yourself while setting a target to breathe mindfully for 1 minute. This is a fabulous exercise when you are pressed for time and can be done several times a day. Another version of the same exercise is described by Thich Nhat Hanh in his book Peace is Every Step. While breathing in, you say to yourself, I know that I am breathing in. And as you breathe out, you say to yourself, I am breathing out. This silent affirmation after some practice can be replaced with in for the inhalation and out for exhalation. As you practice this frequently, you will notice your breath, which was earlier shallow, has become more calm and gentle. You can practice this form of mindfulness while commuting to work, sitting in a library, or even while walking. The second exercise is simple yet very powerful. It's about listening to the sounds around you. Sit in a comfortable position, close your eyes, and pay attention to all the sounds around you. Become aware of the sounds near you and gradually take in sounds that appear to come from a distance. Your mind is likely to wander to other thoughts. Whenever you notice your mind wandering, gently nudge it back to the sounds that you are experiencing. Set your timer initially for 5 minutes. And increase the duration as you become more and more comfortable listening to the sounds around you. I really enjoy this exercise in the early hours of the morning, when the world is gradually waking up around me and the birds start chirping. I always suggest people in my sessions to go out on mindful walks. Most of us, while stepping out of our homes these days, especially the younger crowd, have an earphone plugged in, usually to enjoy music. One good way to practice mindfulness is to do away with the earphones and start making a mental note of all those things that fall on your way. You may gradually become aware of so many beautiful things, Maybe that big amaltas tree in full bloom you had been passing by daily without noticing, or the huge hanging roots of the old banyan tree just round the corner, or that high rise that seems to have come up out of nowhere. Maybe it escaped your attention when the construction started. Mindfulness and meditation are intertwined. You will find many people who do not meditate and yet practice mindfulness. But including meditation in your practice of mindfulness can have a profound effect. The first in the series of mindful meditation is the Raisin Meditation, described by Liz Hall in her book Mindful Coaching. You may like to wash your hands first. Then take a raisin and gently place it in the palm of your hand. Try to approach it as if it were the first time you had encountered such a thing. As if you were a young child, with no preconceptions about raisinness. Engage all your senses, suspending judgment and concept forming as much as possible. Look at it sitting there. What do you notice? What does it look like? What about its surface, the bump and shallows? What colors do you see? How big or small is it in relation to your palm? Holding it up to the light, does it look any different? What does it feel like? What textures does it have? If you press it, does the texture change? How does it smell? Play around with your raisin as if you had all the time and all the curiosity in the world. Then, when you're ready, pop it into your mouth. What does it feel like in your mouth when you run your tongue over it? When you push it around your mouth? What happens when you begin to bite it? What are your sensations? What does it taste like? You might also like to contemplate the nature of raisin. Where does it come from? What is it now? What does it become? When you're ready, draw the practice to a close. You may also write down all the qualities of the raisin on a piece of paper once you're through with experiencing it. This exercise will give you a sense of what mindfulness is about. You may repeat this exercise once in a while and replace the raisin with other food items like a candy or a chocolate. Every repetition with the same food item is likely to give you a unique experience. At the same time, as you move through the exercise, you are likely to start feeling calmer and more peaceful from within. Mindfulness is not only about awareness. It is also so much about becoming non-judgmental about a moment. To just observe, experience and accept without attaching a quality to it. This applies to our external as well as our internal environment, specifically our emotions. My favorite mindfulness exercise on emotions comes from Sef Fontaine. It is based on a famous poem, The Guest House by Rumi. This exercise emphasizes that all emotions are fleeting, especially the unpleasant emotions, and we need to experience and accept them rather than push them away. And by welcoming them as visitors, we can reduce their impact to a great extent. For this exercise, I suggest you choose a day when you have more time for yourself and can spare around 30 minutes without getting disturbed. Put your phone on silent mode, sit in a quiet place in your house. Read the poem carefully. This being is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival. a joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they are proud of sorrows, who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice. Meet them at the door laughing and then invite them in. Be grateful for whatever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. Once you've read the poem, reflect on the following questions. In fact, I suggest that you write them down. How do you interpret the poem? What emotions visit you most often? Why do you think that is? How might it affect you if you welcomed all your emotions rather than denying them? What benefits could there be in welcoming unpleasant emotions? Can you relate to the feeling described in the line, "Violently sweeps your house empty of its furniture"? Have you ever felt this way? How might you apply the message of the guest house to your everyday life? Remember that each moment that you are experiencing is unique. The next moment to follow and the previous moment gone by are never going to be similar to the moment you are experiencing right now. You just need to be completely aware and present in the moment to be able to translate it into the next moment. These lines by Thich Nhat Hanh are my favorite. It is a joy to sit and stand to be at ease and return to our breathing, our smiling, our true nature. Our appointment with life is at the present moment. If we do not have peace and joy right now, when will we have peace and joy? Tomorrow or after tomorrow? What is preventing us from being happy right now? Stay mindful and stay calm. More peace to you all.